Welcome to Untold Stories, a production of the Florida Theater and WJCT Public Media. Tonight's program was recorded May 30th, 2024. The theme, spring.
So our next storyteller, Mary Strickland. She showed up at Babs Lab. That's a place that I have at Cork Arts District. And I do monthly story slams. And she showed up because she knew one of the people telling a story, and she thought, I want to try this. Well, she started coming back to slams, telling stories, started taking classes with me, improv, storytelling. And she would get up there every theme and have a story, and she'd come in third, and she was coming in second, and she was gonna win. And she did. She won a story slam. She went to the Grand Slam. So this has become something that she really loves to do. And just a lot of content. And you will see what I mean by that. So please welcome Mary Strickland.
We don't need no education. Hey, teacher. Leave the kids alone.
So, I'm 65 years old, and I'm trying to get a job as a tutor because I think I'm going to be teaching third graders how to read. And let me tell you how that all started. See, I was born in the 1950s when everyone had a lot of kids. I grew up in Somerset, New Jersey, in one of those developments where every house looks exactly the same, and the trees are about this high. Everyone had a lot of kids in those days. We had six kids, next door were six kids, across the street six kids, it was chaos. And I was the second oldest, and I look at my mom. My mom was just sitting on the couch every day, all day, burping babies, folding diapers, and people, these were real diapers, the cloth kind, you know, the kind you had to scrape into the toilet, you got the safety pins. And my mom, she was just exhausted. And then I look over the other side of the house, and I see my dad. Now my dad, he's tall and handsome. He gets up every morning, puts on a tie and a suit, and he has a little briefcase, and he goes marching off to the train station, and then he goes to restaurants and has meetings, and then he comes home on the train and drinking martinis. And my mother could have used a martini. And I looked and I said, I want to be that guy. And you know, I was never one of the kind of girls that liked dolls or clothes. No, that wasn't me. In fact, when I was 8 years old, I asked for and I got for Christmas a Barbie office. Yes, they made them. And this was a little plastic desk and I had little drawers and I'd write myself memos and put them in the drawers. And the best part was it had a pink princess telephone. And I used to take the telephone, I would dial the phone, ask your parents, rotary dial. I would dial the phone and I would say, this is Miss Rumowitz and I would like to set up a meeting. So could you please have your girl call my girl? So I was kind of more like Mary Tyler Moore and not so much like June Cleaver. So now, it's 1975, and I'm going to go to college. And like many girls in those days, you had three choices. You could be a nurse, you could be a teacher, you could be a social worker. So I decided to be a nurse. Very practical, right? And I went to Georgetown Nursing School, and I went 4 years, and I graduated. And people, I was the kind of nurse you wished you had, because I really looked like a nurse, and I was smart. And look, in those days, we looked like nurses. I had a white dress, white stockings, little shoes. I even had the white cap, you know, like the Flying Nun cap with a stripe on it, and always getting stuck in the IV pole. But we loved it. We felt we were so professional, you know, and it was a lot of work, it was hard. But after a couple years, I realized that nobody really respected nurses. They treated us like scullery maids or waitresses, and I didn't like that. But it all crystallized for me one day. I was in a party, I was about 19, 85 or so, I was at a party, and this was a party for law school people. And so I'm at this party, and this lawyer comes up to me, this partner in a law firm, and he comes up to me, and he looks down at me, and he says, "So what do you do for a living?" And I look up at him, and I said, "Well, I'm a nurse." And he looks down at me, and he smiles, and he says, "That's nice." And I thought to myself, nice? I don't want to be nice. I want to be respected. I want to be the boss. And I decided, seriously, right then and there, I said, I am going to school. I'm going to go back to school. Everything was changing for women now. It's the 80s. We can be anything we want. And so I decided I was going to go to business school. And I studied really hard, really hard. And I got into Dartmouth Business School, amazing. And I got there, borrowed a lot of money. And I worked really hard, and in our class, only 25% of our class were women, because this was new for us. This was the time where the pioneers. So I graduated in 1987, and I went to the place where many people go after school, Manhattan. New York, just like I pictured it, skyscrapers and everything. And I am in a skyscraper. Yes, it is 1994 now, and I'm in the Empire State Building in my office doing a presentation, getting it ready. 7 years has gone by since I graduated, and now I'm married, and by the way, I'm also 9 months pregnant. So I'm in my office at 9 o'clock on a Monday night, and I feel something wet on my chair, and I realize my water broke. So, called up my husband, said, "Hey, you're gonna have to meet me at the hospital." Finished my presentation, yes. Called my boss, got a towel, put it between my legs, and hopped in a taxi and went up to Mount Sinai Hospital where I had my little son, Stephen. And that was great. But you know, of course, I was always planning on going back to work because first of all, I'd worked so hard to get here. And in those days, they didn't even give you maternity leave. I mean, they didn't care. You just had to go back to work. And so I planned to do that. And I hired this wonderful nanny, Charmaine, and she was great. And she came over, and that was all good, right? So now I'm in New York, I'm working. And about 18 months later, something else happens. Somebody recommends me for a job as the CEO of the Visiting Nurse Service of Staten Island. And I was excited because, you know, I always wanted to be a CEO, and I'm almost 40 now, and so I go to this job interview. But at the same time, I am 9 months pregnant at this job interview, yes? And I took the job interview, and I went, and a week later, literally, I had my little daughter, Isabel, in Doctor's Hospital in Manhattan. And here's what happened. I gave birth to my daughter in the morning, and in the afternoon, I got a phone call from the Visiting Nurse Service of Staten Island saying, "We'd like to offer you the job as CEO. And you know what I said? I said, "Well, I just had a baby this morning. It's gonna take me a little while to get there. Can you give me 10 weeks? 10 weeks. So I hired a personal trainer. I got on Jenny Craig, bought some new clothes. And 10 weeks later, I started my new job. CEO of Visiting Nurse Service of Staten Island. So people, thank you. But take a pause. Think about how crazy this was. We were insane back then. We just thought we could do anything. We were told we could. But you know, so that was good. I got my job. I started my job. And it was too tough at this point to commute from Manhattan to Staten Island. So I decided I was going to move to New Jersey. And so I asked Charmaine, "Would you come with me to New Jersey?" And she said, "Only if I can bring my 3 kids. And I said, "Sure." And she brought all her 3 kids. They're here tonight. Yes, they are. They were wonderful. And we all moved to New Jersey. And for a couple of years, everything's going along fine. But like I told you, they said we could have it all. But I could not have it all. I took my eye off the ball, my marriage crumbled, and I ended up divorced in my 40s living in New Jersey. And now, and it was okay, the kids had joint custody, they're okay, but now I'm working even more. And why? Well, obviously I need the money, but also because I felt like, well, I'm not that good at being a wife, maybe I should work more. So I'm working. And now I got to tell you why I like to work so much, because I had some really great, incredible jobs. I worked for the governor of New Jersey, and I was able to watch the governor get up and say a speech that I had written, and I love that. I was able to get on the corporate jet, fly to Washington, D.C., and testify in front of Congress for a pharmaceutical company. I did that too. I was allowed to fly to Argentina and teach doctors about cancer medication. And I loved it. I loved being in politics. I'd bring my kids to these rallies. It was great. And then 2012 happens. And 2012, something happened that rocked my world. And ladies, you know when I say rocked my world, it means a man. That's right, a man. See, there was this man that I always thought about. I thought this was the one, the man that got away. And it was my high school boyfriend, Steve. And I always wanted to find him again, but I never could. He was just so nice to me, and I just thought, that's the guy I should have married. So, in 2012, through the magic of Facebook, I met up with him again, with Steve. And I thought we were just gonna have dinner. But people, I felt madly in love with Steve. And after about 2 or 3 months, we wanted to get married. And let me tell you, people thought we were crazy. So my daughter Isabel, when I told her I was getting married, you know what she said? She said, "Mom, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? Why are you getting married at your age?" And I said to her, I said, "Isabel, I said, you're 16. You have your whole life ahead of you. I'm 54. This is the fourth quarter of my life. And this is my Hail Mary pass, and I'm taking it." And don't you know, I married Steve. Yes. And he is a fabulous husband. But Steve had one flaw, which is that Steve lived in Clay County, Florida. Hold on. So now, I have to disrupt my whole life. I married Steve, he's down here, I'm up there. So I moved down here, and for 3 years, I commuted back and forth to Washington, New Jersey, Jacksonville, on a plane every week. Had my pharmaceutical lobbying jobs, doing great. But then I decided, you know what, this is exhausting, I'm gonna stop. So I thought, I'm gonna quit my job, and I'm gonna get a job in Jacksonville. So I worked really hard, and I got another job. So the next job I got in Jacksonville was the CEO, another CEO job, as the CEO of Lutheran Social Services of Northeast Florida. And it was really great. Now, some of you may even actually see me when I was there. I was there for 4 years, and it was great for a while. But what happened was, like everybody else, we got caught up in politics. And when the new administration came, the Trump administration, they put in the Muslim ban, and they shut down refugee programs. And that is what LSS did. We resettled refugees. So I spent the next 4 years begging for money, lobbying, trying to stand up this company. It was really hard. I worked for 4 good years, did a lot. But eventually, the board had a meeting and decided, you're too expensive, and they laid me off. So now I'm 62 years old. They laid me off on Christmas 2019. Yes, Christmas. But you know, you can see what I'm like, right? Okay. So I said, well, I'm gonna try to get another job, and I start lining up job interviews. But then what happens? Well, COVID happens, and then all my job interviews are canceled, everything is shut down, and I'm home for something like 2 years. Nobody would interview me, we didn't know what was gonna happen. So finally, COVID ends. Now I've tried different things at this point, and I realize I just have to get a job, and I gotta do something useful. So I came up with this idea. I decided I'm gonna try to be a tutor for teaching third graders how to read. It's my new idea. So I went online And I got a job interview at the Jacksonville Tutoring Club. And I'm gonna tell you how it went. So I get in for my interview, I'm sitting in the chair, and the owner of the company, her name is Miss Tammy, she looks at me and she goes, "Wow, you have a good resume. You could probably teach high school." And you know, I'm really confident. I'm like, "Yeah." So she reaches across the desk, she hands me an algebra test. And people, I have not been in high school for 50 years. I cannot remember any algebra. But I pretend that I can. And I said, "Well, let me just take it home. I'll put it in my pocket. Check it out when I get home." And then I say, and she says, "You know, if you can teach algebra, you make an extra dollar an hour." So I said, "Well, maybe you should start me off with the little kids." So I start my job on Monday, and the way it works is, you know, you have, it's all on computer now, and I'm, you know, I have this idea that I'm going to be teaching these kids how to read, and I'm going to be helping them with their homework, and at the end of the semester, they're going to come over and hug me and say, "Thank you, Miss Mary." I don't know why I thought this. I never even helped my own kids with their homework. But, so anyway, this is how it works, people. It was like a tutoring factory. People, three kids would come in, I'd sit at a little table with my laptop, typing, and each kid's doing something different. This guy's doing long division, this doing phonics, this guy's doing something else, and every kid, every time they finish a worksheet, you have to give them a gold coin. You have to give it to them like a little dog treat, you know? You know, and then they collect them at the end. And then at 2 o'clock, four more kids come in, or three more kids, and I'm doing the same thing. And you know, I'm trying to keep up with my little computer, and I don't know what they're doing, but anyway, I'm there for 4 days, and on Thursday, my fourth day of training, Miss Tammy calls me into her office. And she says, "Mary, how do you think you're doing?" I know what that means, people. I've been a boss. And she says, and I said, "Well, I think I'm catching on." And she says, "Really?" "Because we've had some complaints about you. We've heard that you're slow." "You're slow." And then she says, "Do you think if I give you another couple of days, you could catch on?" And I know I can't catch on, people. This has passed me by. So I look down at my lap, and I look up again. I said, "Well, no, I don't think so." And she says, "Okay, then you can go." So I fold up my little laptop, put it under my arm, and I slink out of there. And I'm thinking to myself, I have just been fired from a $10 an hour tutoring job. And people, I'm like 65 years old. I don't know what I am going to do. And you know what? I think about it, and I think, well, you know, I've tried ZipRecruiter, I've tried LinkedIn, I've tried Indeed.com. I've tried networking with my friends. There's got to be something else I can try. Oh, man. 1, 2, 3. I could go on stage. That's right. People, you've heard my resume. I'm here. Just. Does anybody have a job for me?
I'm her agent. Talk to me.
Untold Stories is a production of the Historic Florida Theater in partnership with WJCT Public Media. Barbara Colicello is the artistic director. Numa Saislin is the president of the Florida Theater. Jeremy Moore and Eric Stanfield recorded the live performances of Untold Stories. The Untold Stories broadcast and podcast was produced by Brady Corum and Letitia Barriola. Saul Lucio is the technical director. The live performances of Untold Stories were made possible by a generous gift from the Wolfberg family.